1919, worker strikes, the army, and Belfast. Belfast was also presenting problems for Prime Minister David Lloyd George. Firstly, let me take you back. Before the war, there were a number of strikes. And I'd recommend the excellent work of a book, Simon Webb, in his book, 1919, Britain's Year of Revolution. In the years before World War I, there was considerable industrial unrest, which peaked in 1912 when 40 million working days were lost across Britain. Then in 1914, the Triple Alliance was formed. This was a triumvirate of the three big trade union areas, coal, rail and dock workers, and only the war stopped a general strike that would have crippled the nation. Patriotism affected industrial unrest, but by 1917 that atmosphere was changing, and seamstresses, bank clerks, telegraph messengers and munition workers had all went on strike. The government introduced the Defence of the Realm Act in 1914, which was draconian, and forced citizens to do some things and forbade them from doing others. One critical clause gave the government absolute freedom to introduce further regulations as and when needed. For example, engineers could not change jobs without approval, and it was an offence to suggest the war was a bad thing, although some rules were blatantly bizarre. Regulation 40B concerned the supply of cocaine to actresses. As soon as the war had ended, there was the December 1918 election, and David George had made three significant promises, all of which he was to break. One, that those who had fought would return to a land fit for heroes. Two, there would be habitation for heroes. And three, demobilisation back to Sibley Street would be speedy. Well, no new housing had been built. In fact, while the men had been away, their wives had led rent strikes. There were few jobs and demobilisation was slow, and Winston Churchill had tried to send the armed forces to Russia. So, at the end of the war, the Trade Union Congress, on behalf of all workers, negotiated a reduction in working hours from 54 to 47 a week. However, this was rejected in a ballot of workers by 3-1, and the rank and file chose to ignore the TUC. On the 27th of January, the industrial war between workers and governments began in Glasgow and in Belfast. Well, we've mentioned Glasgow in Chapter 7 of this. But in Belfast, the general strike began. The interesting thing was that workers were not simply demanding less money, less hours for more wages, as was traditional. Instead, they demanded a 40-hour working week as an experiment with the object of absorbing the unemployed, unquote. The strikes were no longer simply strikes. They were now a people's movement taking strategy out of the hands of government. In Belfast, the strikers took control of electricity, and the added issue was the general demand for Irish independence, which had led to the election of Sinn Féin MPs in the general election of 1918. 6 days earlier, on the 21st, the first meeting of Dáil Éireann had occurred in Dublin, declaring an independent Ireland on the 21st of January, and at the killing of two policemen in County Tipperary that same day at the beginning of what was the Anglo-Irish War for Independence. The strikers in Belfast. The strike committee were in total control of electricity. They even were deciding which industry could have electricity. In effect, no industry could have it, but hospitals could. They were seeking to create a workers' parliament. And government knew this was step one to independence, but it was also Bolshevism. As the Belfast newsletters headlined, these objectives are not industrial, they are revolutionary. Well, when workers in London announced they were going to join the general strike, the government had to act, which it did very forcibly in Glasgow. And it also then amended the Defence of the Realm Act, making it illegal to deprive the inhabitants of electricity with a penalty of 6 months hard work labour for any worker that did so. Well, after gas and electricity had been disrupted for 3 weeks in Belfast, the army was brought in. Army detachments, Lewis machine guns mounted at the electricity station and in other places led to the strike collapsing. But it was now clear the army would be used to bring order and that their orders were clear. Whatever force was necessary. So the Belfast general strike collapsed, but the atmosphere of strikes in 1919 was to continue, not least because the police went on strike twice in 1919, in London and in Liverpool. The government had to sack 2,000 police officers and make strikes by the police illegal, which is true to this day.